It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away. Get away from my wife with that.
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Football Friday on WGR. Bulldog, it is Friday.
I'm good now. Yesterday was
weird.
Yesterday was a challenge for me. Yes. But I know I'm down.
It's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Heard the update there. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline. We were just talking earlier, Sal, with Sam Paniatovich about what to do from a betting standpoint with this game. And I said, if they do start Drake May, New England, this coach he's not going to care about the draft pick. It's not the most important year ever, it seems, to have the number one pick. I would take that as a sign that New England, relative term, but wants this game. Like, why would May play if they weren't trying to make that point? I, however, think that he won't. I don't know about you, but Gonzalez ruled out other starters, and they're still calling May game time with this hand injury that, I don't know, maybe is real. What would your guess be on him?
I'm going to defer to what Alex Van Pelt said earlier this week, and he was kind of definitive on him starting. He basically, he's not the head coach, but, the way he talked, Drake May was playing. And, he absolutely is ready to play and start, and it seemed like that was the case, and they were leaning that way. Now, granted, things could change through the week, and as you guys have made the point, and with Sam, that, who knows? The ownership steps in and says, well, he's our future, don't let him get hurt. There's obviously different motives there.
Yep.
But I think the way it's been trending all week is that Drake May is going to play.
Yeah, I agree with the assertion that if he plays, I would get on the New England side of this game. But I've been skeptical all week about whether or not he would indeed play, because I feel like that call could come to a coach that's already maybe a little shaky. It depends on how, I just don't know if the Crafts want to, take that for a ride, so to speak, right? Like, just sort of mess with this guy to see how loyal he'll be if he pushes back. Maybe they want him to push back. They go to him and say, we'd like you to do this. Maybe they're testing him to see if he'll push back or not. And, I don't know. I feel like those are mind games. But to me, they're not completely out of the realm of possibility here, given where they're at.
Well, listen, the other way to look at it is, you have their starting center is ruled out, Christian Gonzalez is ruled out, Jabril Peppers is ruled out. Even if Drake May plays, obviously you don't want him to get injured, but they may feel that, even though we're going against Mitch Trubisky and this group, they're still not a very good team. And they still may wind up losing the game. So, they could kind of have the appearance of, we're going to put him out there, try to win the game, but we kind of know we're not going to anyway. I could also see a scenario where he starts, and then it's kind of communicated to Gerard Mayo of, look, at some point in this game, we'd like to get a little more evaluation on some other guys, so, we'll probably put some new linemen in, then you take Drake May out because of that. And I think you could also spin it and look at it that way. As far as the betting line is concerned, I don't know. I just think the Bills players who are playing in this game want to really go there and, put one on, basically. Like, you're talking about guys who might not normally get a shot. They want to put stuff on film, and this might be their one chance. And you can't, as McDermott has said, and I've told you guys, you can't sit everyone. So you have regular rostered players playing out there, even though they're backups, right? So I think that, to me, the Bills would be the side to play simply for that reason, which is, hey, these are guys that want to go win. I don't care. The Bills do not care, to me. I don't think they care whatsoever if the Patriots have the number one pick, the number five pick, and the number 15 pick.
Yeah.
I think the Bills care about these guys who are playing are going to win the game.
Yeah. One other little piece to fold into the quarterback, question mark with New England is that they've got a guy on the bench there that is at least an intriguing prospect. Not that they need a quarterback. They've got their guy. They've got their answer in Drake May. But Milton is, I think, an interesting, he's huge rocket arm. Like, he came from Air Raid, right? Tennessee in college. So there's a lot of refinement that needs to happen there. But I don't know. Maybe someone there could figure out, we want to get him a half, and if nothing else, find out we've got a guy we might be able to count on to develop as a backup, or someone who eventually could become a piece that other teams could be interested in if he can play at all.
Absolutely agree. Like, this isn't just about the starters, right? I'm like, yeah, you want to get evaluations on your backups. That's a lot of what the Bills are going to do this weekend, guys, which is, hey, you know, these guys are part of our team, but, you know, this helps us understand what we have going into the offseason, you know, and going forward. I mean, I'll give you an example. Joe Andreessen, right? I mean, we all love Joe Andreessen's story, and every time he's played, he's looked really good. This will be a real good chance for him to show that he can seriously compete for the backup middle linebacker job next year at training camp and put this on film and let them know where they are at that spot. That's just one example, right? I mean, what are you looking at cornerback? Are we going to see Benford and Douglas? Probably not, I would guess. So what are we looking at? You're probably looking at Brandon Codrington getting snaps on the outside. That's a real good evaluation to see, do we need another guy? Is he good enough to have on the roster as our backup corner and a, you know, return man? And so if you're the Patriots, no doubt about it, they have a very, very long to-do list for their roster this offseason. They have a lot of cap space. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to see their backup quarterback a little bit to see if he is a backup for next year.
It will be interesting. I'll just close this topic by saying I think taking May out after starting him is the one thing they could do that would smell bad. Either don't play him, hand injury, you know, or just play him and we're here to win. But you take him out, I don't know, that would be weird for me. We'll see what they do. Sal Capaccio on the Westher Hotline. Well, let's talk about Mike White here and get into some of the Bills stuff. Mm-hmm. You have, I'm sure, thought about it at length. What did they do and what is the significance of it?
Yeah, it's something I thought they might do after Sean gave me the answer on Wednesday. I asked him at his weekly press conference. I said, you know, do you anticipate, would you be calling Mike White up, or are you able to do that? And he said, you know, it's going to be tough because of the numbers. They only get two practice squad elevations. And, you know, you're looking around the roster going, okay, well, if we're going to have guys who are banged up at safety and we want to kind of lay off them, we got to elevate someone there. We don't really want to have only 9 offensive linemen, probably. This is me thinking how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. You probably want 10. So you're going to have to elevate someone there. Where's the room for Mike White? So what's the answer there? Well, the answer was what we found out today. They actually signed Mike White to the active roster and released linebacker Nicholas Morrow. So now you don't have to elevate Mike White. Now he is your third quarterback. You have 3 quarterbacks on the active roster, and now you can still elevate 2 more people. The significance is, so the way the rule works is you get a third emergency quarterback each week. However, that guy has to be on your active roster, although inactive on game day. When the inactives come out every week at 11:30 for a 1 o'clock game, you say, oh, there's the inactives. Well, if you have a third quarterback in your roster, he can be on that list, but he's able to play if something were to happen to the other two. Now, of course, we could all sit here and go, come on, if something happens to Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky, they're cooked anyway, right? But you don't know what happens at the end of a game if there's something going on where you got to finish a game and just get it through a couple of drives. So at least it's significant to have a guy that you know could take some snaps in that situation. And on top of that, they signed him to an extra 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So he's not just finishing out the season. He's actually going to be coming back to training camp as it stands right now as a person under contract.
Let me just squeeze you a little here on something happens to the other two. Allen's going to start this game. He'll be dressed, obviously, but we're not expecting him to get hurt. We're expecting him to come in and maybe play a series and then sit down and keep his consecutive games started streak intact. If Trubisky were to get hurt and Mike White is inactive like you're describing here and only can come in if something happens to the other two, is Josh Allen wanting to sit down because the playoffs start next week? Something happening?
No, so here's what I would say. Sorry if I confused everyone. He won't be inactive this week. He'll be active. I could almost guarantee you that.
Okay.
He won't be the third emergency guy. He'll be on the roster this week. They'll have 3 active quarterbacks this week.
You're talking about
like, to make sure that doesn't, to your point, Bulldog, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because, yes, you actually, the way the rule is specifically written, the other two quarterbacks have to not be able to return due to injury. Not because you're arresting somebody.
Right.
So if this were that situation, you'd have to put Josh back in, and you'd put somebody in. You couldn't
Ray
have
Davis.
Mike White come in. Right. But in the playoffs, yes, that could be happening. In this game, I would expect Mike White is active, Josh Allen. And by the way, so the transaction happened literally while McDermott was on the air with me on the Extra Point show. So it happened just as we were ending, and I said, oh, Sean, I just got the alert. You guys have signed Mike White, so was the plan to play him? And he confirmed. He said right there with me, he said, yeah, we're going to – Josh will obviously start and get whatever snaps. Mitch will come in. He said, and then we'd like to see Mike get some time a little bit at the end. Kind of whatever paraphrasing, he did say they'd like him to play a little bit.
Right. And just quickly, so we're not just buried in Mike White stuff, the significance of the contract for next year, is there like sort of a trade-off here?
I think so, Mike. It's probably one of those deals where, hey, we'd like to do this, but – a little bit of a reward for him. It's really no skin off their back. I do think there's one interesting point about this, which is at the end of the year, this does not allow him to sign a futures contract with another team. If the Bills go to him and say, hey, we want to sign a futures contract with you to come back here, and another team says, no, we want you, or sign a contract, I should say, with another team, he may feel, because all practice squad players generally, like when what happens at the end of the year is you go to them and say, hey, we want you back. So you sign what's called a future/reserve contract. So that guy just signs. He's still kind of inactive until the new league year starts, and then he's on your 90-man roster. Well, the guy doesn't have to do that. A player like Mike White could say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to sign with a team where I think I actually have a shot right now to go to that team and be part of their program and then fight for a job. Well, guess what? Now that's out of the equation. He's coming back to Buffalo.
Okay. The injury stuff, the injury report is fairly clean. Lots of names, but Bernard out, and then is it Samuel questionable, and then that's it. But it's still like a game where you're resting guys, and Allen will be active, as we've discussed. Who are the guys you think, just by whatever injury information you have, or like, all right, who are my most important guys that I cannot have get injured in this game? I've got that list in my head, too. I guess the question is really just, what do you think they'll do?
Yeah, you mean you're asking, like, as far as active and inactive with these guys, even though everybody's kind of, available to play?
Right.
Or even guys who are going to be active because of numbers, but they hope they don't have to play them, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, listen, I also asked Sean today about the starting offensive line. I was actually a little surprised. He said he's not planning on playing the starting offensive line, even with Josh Allen out there, for those snaps. I thought that would be the case. So I'm thinking you're probably just sitting your entire O-line, and you're getting five new guys. Who's the fifth guy? Maybe Will Clapp gets called up, Richard Garage, someone like that, and then you have five offensive linemen. I mean, you could have, Osiris Torrance play a little bit because he's a rookie, second-year guy, maybe something like that. But from that standpoint, and then you look at the numbers they have at wide receiver. Yeah, okay, so Curtis Samuel, maybe you rest him another week. We'll see. But what does that look like at wide receiver? You don't have a whole other bunch of options. Maybe they elevate KJ Hamler. That's a guy you could think about for the 14th touchdown pass. Well, right. You got to put guys on the field, right? You got to have guys play. You got to put guys in the field. And then on the back end, guys, three safeties who are all – banged up a little bit, but all are available to play. I do think they really would like to get DeMar Hamlin a little bit of time back on there. He has not played in a few weeks. Sean indicated that earlier this week about him. Cam Lewis, maybe the same thing there, playing with Taylor Rapp. Maybe just get those guys back to play with each other for a little bit to kind of get the chemistry back. So I think that's something that, kind of has to be thought of here.
Yep. I like the corners sitting down in this game, Douglas and Benford both, which you alluded to earlier.
What you could see, Bulldog? How about this? You get Codrington on one side,
right?
Elam on the other, and then Jamarcus Ingram as your nickel. I think that's probably what you're looking at here.
That works fine for me, I feel like those guys are – you made the point already, right? The safeties have been in and out, so I might want to get a look at Hamlin a little bit. Rap, I might want to put in bubble wrap. He's been nursing some stuff. Sorry, I didn't really mean that. It just came out that way. That's probably that. And then, defensive line-wise, they've got enough guys that they cannot, worry about having to play, the kingpins too much at all.
Yeah, that's right. So they have nine. So the way the active roster looks right now, they have nine offensive linemen. Let's say you're sitting from left to right, Deion Dawkins, David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, and Spencer Brown. I mean, when those guys, even if you're not sitting them to start, when they come off, you only have four left. That's Alec Anderson, Tylon Grable, Ryan Vannemark, and Cedric Van Pran Granger. Okay, I can easily do it. Cedric Van Pran Granger plays center. Vannemark and Grable are your tackles. Alec Anderson is one guard. Okay, so to me, you're bringing Will Clapp up. That's your other guard right there.
Right.
You could do Mike Edwards, the all-lineman, not the safety they got rid of, obviously. He'd be your other guy. So I think that's where the whole Mike White signed to the active roster spot comes into play here, which is you just might need two guys to be able to be elevated here. You could, if they really want to, how about elevating Daquan Hardy? If you're going to put, I'll give you a thought that I have. If you're going to have Brandon Codrington play defense, maybe you want to see Daquan Hardy return some punts, right? And then you have an extra DB there too. So I just think there are different things they could do here.
Close to a 90% chance, somewhere between 80 and 90% chance, I guess, that come Monday will be fully invested in the Denver Broncos. If Denver beats Kansas City, they're the 7, and that's the first round game. We've talked about it some. Do you care about last year's Bills Broncos game for this one, or will you? If that's the matchup, that was Russell Wilson. That was the end of Ken Dorsey, right? Like they weren't even to Joe Brady as coordinator yet. That's the last team to beat the Bills here in the regular season is that Broncos game, regular season again. Is that game going to be relevant, do you predict, in your sort of expectations for a playoff meeting?
It is to me a little bit because of the coaching staff. The Broncos have the same head coach. I think the same group of coaches, but Sean Payton. And the only thing that's really... It's not as, like, it's way different, obviously, as Russell Wilson versus Bo Nix, right? But I do think that Sean McDermott would look at them and say, okay, this is what they did when they came here last year. They're probably going to have a lot of similar, things they want to do in this particular game. And I think the same way, Sean Payton probably has some sort of, game plan of, okay, well, this is what the Bills did against my team last year and how they defended my offense. So I do think that those things will come into play. McDermott did say on Wednesday, not that it's unique, obviously, I'm sure every team does this, but he did confirm that, they do have advanced scouts that are projecting and doing the work already on Denver, on Cincy, and on Miami, that they'll be ready to go no matter who they play. But, it's not like it's going to sneak up on them. And I'm sure some of that has to be what was this year, what they look like, what they've done, and obviously because of a rookie quarterback. And I'm sure some of that was how they played them last year and some of the tendencies.
It was a very modest day offensively, well, at least for the passing game. They ran for almost 200 yards as a team, and that was hardly any Allen, only 13 yards. I've opened up the box from that game. Latavius Murray, remember him? Poor one out for him. 9 for 68.
Yes.
Cook had 12 for 109. Allen, though, only 15 of 26 for 177, a couple of picks.
There are three things I remember about that game in reverse order. The end. Having an extra guy on the field when they miss a field goal means your offensive coordinator gets fired. I remember the end. I remember the Sutton touchdown catch, which was ridiculous. Like Russell Wilson, what? How was that even?
Right in front of me, man.
Was it? Okay.
Allen
and Shakir in the playoffs against the Chiefs was sort of like that, where it's like, how is that even possible? And the Bills taking the ball to start the game and fumbling on the first play. Those are the three things I remember about that game.
Yeah, I remember all that, too. Here's what I remember about that game. Marvin Mims. I think that's a big key in this game. If the Bills do play the Broncos, you're going to hear me talk a lot about Marvin Mims next week, guys. He's an all-pro returner. He's a return man, and the Bills have been hurt by returns this year. They've been hurt by kickoff returns. Their special teams have not been super buttoned up. I think that's if I'm a Denver Broncos coach, I'm going right to, we are finding an advantage on special teams in this game. That's going to be something that we can use to our advantage. And I think that becomes a story next week.
He should even be wide receiver 2 for that team. Like, he's so fast.
When I think about them as an opponent, I think they're doing a disservice to themselves if they don't try at least a couple of deep shots to him in this game. You hit on one of those, it could change the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
How
about the fact that they have close to 60 sacks already? Like, this team gets after the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at some of the numbers yesterday with them. Now, they have not been as efficient the last few weeks, but they have some numbers on defense. They get after the quarterback real good. So, yeah, I think if that's the matchup, look, I think if it's the matchup, I think it's next week, my thought will be, just don't hurt yourself if you're the Bills. I don't think their offense is good enough to really keep pace as long as you don't give them extra opportunities. Whereas the total opposite would be the case if you play the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Which is you better score because they're going to score some points and you have a chance to score against that particular defense.
Yeah, the Bengals tomorrow night is really interesting. If they win, then it's edge of our seats Sunday during the post-game show. What happens with those two games, Denver and Miami? I've come to a point where I think Miami and Denver are about the same in terms of like the the quality of the opponent in those cases.
The question will be whether Tua, I mean, he said today he will absolutely play if they make the playoffs, but we'll see. I mean, the doctors are talking about, and even Mike McDaniel today is talking about, it's not a thing that needs surgery, but it needs to be rested because he can't keep aggravating and trying to play through it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe another week makes all the difference there, and maybe the player pushes and they get out of his way. But that'll certainly be if they end up in that spot, that'll be the top thing to watch, you know, during the week next week.
They just seem to me like a team that, if they could, maybe just sort of pass on the playoff invite. That's what the Steelers were last year to me. Like, do they even really want to be there? Backup quarterback, third string, whatever they were at with Rudolph and. All right, I guess we'll go.
How interesting are the Steelers, too, right? They're an interesting spot, right? I mean, like, we talked to Mike earlier this week, I think before Bulldog was back, about you said you think Tomlin would want to play the Ravens
because
this is who he is in his DNA, right? And I'm like, no, I think he wants to play the Texans. I'll tell you what, though. I texted our buddy Jeremy Kahn over in our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore. I said, Jeremy, who would Ravens fans rather play? Would they rather play the Steelers or the Chargers? Do you want to guess what he said to me?
Chargers.
Yeah, although I don't know, from the outside looking in, wouldn't you rather play the Steelers? But, you know, he gave the answer, which I agree with, which is, you know what? Division game,
there's,
man.
There's familiarity, their little boogeyman thing there. I'm a little bit the same way about Miami, even though all the Bills do is kick sand in Miami's face. I feel like they were good here last time, and it's a division thing, and eventually they're going to get you. You know, like, we'll be talking. The Bills could continue to dominate the thing for another 5 years, but there's always going to be a couple in there, and, like, you know, one of them is going to happen at some point. So, I don't know. I don't want to keep kicking that beehive.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I'm Baltimore. I don't want any part of Pittsburgh. Can I just not have to do that, please? Sal, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, and we will talk next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. There's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
References to the Bills injury list. The Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. We have open lines planned until picks at 6 o'clock Eastern. That's a long time. And I figure many of you want to give us picks advice.
Oh, sure.
That's probably what you want to do. There's no fantasy lineups to set. Mm. If you're sane, we're not doing that this week. It's time for a break here. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.